So I feel quite excited and nervous giving this talk. And it's quite a difficult thing for me to do because I'm not used to doing it. If I were to be managing some work, then I'd feel that was easy. But doing this, I don't quite know what to talk about. But they call me Lung Ta because I had ordained when I was quite old already. And I ordained because my mother passed away. It was in January. And I thought, well, it's a good opportunity now to do something to give back to my mother. And so I thought that ordaining would be something good to do for her, so I could dedicate the goodness and the wholesomeness of that to her. But I didn't know what that would be like. I didn't really know much about the monastic life. I was quite old already. I'd gone with various relatives to stay in monasteries, to do meditation and chanting, but even so, I didn't understand very much. It was only when I ordained that I could begin to understand. It was just after ordaining that I knew that, oh, that this is what meditation is like. And that the mind coming together, feeling at ease, it's like this. And I thought, look back to the times I'd gone to practice in different places as a layperson, but I could see that I didn't really know much about meditation then. But it was really, you know, coming to ordain that I felt like could start practicing anew. And before that, when I'd sit, felt like almost like ants were crawling and biting my body. And I didn't really know what was happening. But this kind of annoying feeling was there. Then after ordaining, when I was meditating, carried on doing that, and then I didn't feel like this anymore. I felt at ease. And I feel like the best meditation I had was just in that period after ordination. I didn't have much work to do. And Lompo Anan encouraged me to really focus on my practice. And so there was, so this period where I brought up this feeling that I really needed to put up a fight and to fight with myself. And it's something that we need to endure with, to struggle against, to fight with, and it's a fight against ourselves, against my own conceit. Because I had ordained when I was old already, so I had these thoughts and this feeling like, you know, I'm right, and that I passed through, I had many experiences in the world already, passed through many things already, that of what I think is correct. But the thing is, when we meditate, what we need to stop is our own thoughts. And it's our thoughts that interfere with our practice. And if we can stop that thinking, then the mind enters into a peaceful and cool state. And this appears within the heart. That if we don't do this, then the mind just carries on thinking and thinking and thinking about the past, some thoughts to do with the present, some thoughts into the future. And it's just up to our minds, whatever they're going to create, whatever they're going to chase after or proliferate about. And that's different for different people. But for myself, so ordaining when I was old, another difficult obstruction for me was the aches and pains of the body. And just be sitting for a short time in meditation and pain would start coming up. And so I'd always be asking myself, well, can I take this anymore? Can I take this anymore? But I'd respond that if I don't struggle with this, if I don't pass through it, then I won't be able to get through it. And my practice will just stop at this point. And so the Buddha taught us that at the very least we need to be able to experience this coolness within the heart. And if we don't go past these difficulties, then we won't know what that's like. So after my first year as a monk, then started helping out in different work duties around the monastery. But I also concluded to myself that I needed to carry on practicing as well. And Lumpo Nan had the kindness to teach me about reciting the chant of Itipiso, so the recollection of the Buddha, and to do this at least 108 times. And so I tried to do that. So I'd wake up early in the morning in time to be able to recite that 108 times before going to the morning chanting. And then in the afternoon, I'd recite another round of that. And because in the afternoon at that time, that Lumpo Nan had created the schedule for the new monks to meditate together in the Sala Bodhinyan. And I knew that if I didn't do my Itipiso chanting before then my mind wouldn't come into samadhi. And then if it didn't enter into samadhi, then the aches and pains of the body would spread and get more intense. And so I knew that this pain would be all over the body. And then before the evening chanting, I'd go through another round of 108 as well. And I tried to not give in to laziness or to find excuses that I couldn't do my chanting because of this reason or that reason. And I knew that if I didn't do this chanting, then in the evening the meditation wouldn't really happen and there'd just be difficulty and pain that I'd experience. So one thing that I tried to do is to fulfill my duties in the community, whatever work there was to help out with, I'll do that. And then another thing is this chanting of Itipiso, to try and do that, to try and complete at least another round before the evening chanting, because I found that my meditation was best in that period. And that was especially so if Lumpo Anan came up that night as well and spread his metta. And you could really feel the difference when he would come up. You could sense and experience his loving kindness. And then the mind can enter into samadhi more quickly. And when it does so, there's this sense of peace and ease. But then these painful feelings that would come up again after about an hour or so, they'd arise again. And then when they come up this time, I tell myself that the feelings are not sure, they're not self. This feeling is merely a feeling. But I still couldn't pass through that, or that pain would remain. And when that's the case, then we need to forbear, because that's what our teacher teaches us to do. To really forbear, that this is something that we need to bring up when we experience these painful feelings. And so the years that I've been ordained as a monk, it's really not many. It's just 5 years now, so I haven't studied the scriptures very much. I haven't had that much time to be able to meditate. And so I need to use time to be able to gather my thoughts to know what to speak about to you all. But in the second year that I was a monk, that there was a relative of mine, my ex-mother-in-law, and I went to her funeral down south. And there was a monastery there which had just been established. It was in quite a remote area in Drang province. And the funeral was in Pataloong. And so I got to know then, when I was staying in that secluded monastery, that using Zoom and meditating over Zoom was actually very helpful. Because I found that when I would join in the Zoom sessions and the days that Longpo would come to the evening chanting, that when he spread his metta, that it could reach me as well, and my meditation would be better. And so I found that on the days that he would come, he'd spread his loving kindness over Zoom, then the time that it would take to enter samadhi would be less. But on the days that he didn't come, then it would take longer. And so this is just a conclusion which I came up with myself, and maybe I'm not right about that. So maybe this is just a thought that I have. But it did feel like his loving kindness was helpful and able to reach me where I was. And so also when I've had other duties to do in different places, then I've used the opportunity to join in via Zoom as well, and that's helped my meditation. And so I gain this understanding, or this rather is the way that I understand it and the way that I feel, but I also don't know whether that's correct or not. And so one thing that I used to help me in my practice was chanting. Another was helping out with the duties of the monastery. And the way that for the lay people you can use that or understand that is to be creating merit and to do goodness. You know, and these acts of goodness that you do in your daily life that can help your meditation as well. And so one thing is the chanting. Another thing are these acts of goodness. And these can kind of form the requisites or the things which assist our meditation. And so another is to make the mind firmly established. And because a defilement which is there within myself a lot is this thought that comes up, can I take this anymore? Can I take this anymore? How far will I be able to go? And in the end, just needed to carry on teaching myself. Don't worry about it. Because, and just carry on going. Because if I don't do it now, then when am I going to do it? And then this cycle of rebirth will just carry on without ending. And if I don't collect my credits, if I don't collect stamps and accumulate these every single day, then this cycle of samsara, it's just going to carry on and on and on. And as Bhajan Chah taught, that there is water in the ground. All we have to do is just carry on digging, just dig and dig and dig, and then eventually we'll meet with that water. And this is a true thing, that if we carry on meditating, then what we're doing is collecting. We're collecting our experience, we're collecting lessons that can help us. And so this is a teaching of Ajahn Chah's that has really helped me. Another thing he taught was to watch the breath. This is something that I've done at times and haven't done at times. That to watch the breath come and go at the tip of the nose. But if at periods I found this difficult to do, then I would contemplate death. Because my age, it's not a little anymore, and I don't know how many years I'll have left. And if I don't hurry to collect this up, and then the funds that I'll have will be very little, and the lives that I'll have left will be many. So if I don't just carry on kind of dropping in the coins into the piggy bank, then I'll need to stay here in the cycle of samsara for a long time. So after my second rains retreat, I had the opportunity to go to various katina ceremonies in various branch monasteries around the country. And I also got the opportunity on those trips to visit many great teachers, many very elderly and experienced teachers. And so I got to know about them, and that there are many places where they have these great teachers who are helping to spread Buddhism as well. And so this gave energy to me that kind of could most allow the gears within me to carry on going, carry on spinning. I'm sorry, that for myself, that I could help, I set my heart that I could help out in this as well, that they were helping to spread Buddhism and to keep Buddhism going, and that I would do whatever I could to the fullest of my energy to help out, even though that may just be a very small amount. And so Lompo Anand, he also had the kindness to take me to meet Lumpu Tim and Lumpu Opat. And upon meeting Lumpu Opat, I got to know what's the coolness of and the peace of sitting in his metta was like. And I could feel that. And I got to know that the Buddhasasana, it still has a very strong foundation, and that there are these beings who are helping to support, helping to care for the Buddha's teachings, religion, and helping to spread these as well. And so I thought, well, if I have the energy to help out with whatever I can, then I'll do that. And so after that, then Lumpur Nan, he had the kindness to allow me to attend on him. And that gave me a firmness and a conviction in my practice as well. Because something which had been a disturbance to me was this thought of, can I take this anymore? How far will I be able to go? But in the end, I just decided that however far I can go, then I'll just go that far. That I'll go the furthest distance that I'm able to go. And so after that, then the third year, fourth year, mostly just stayed at the monastery. I haven't really gone anywhere. And sometimes I'd just go home in order to help out with various kind of issues in the family. But when I would leave, then I'd feel like my energy would get less and less. And then when I came back to the monastery, it would take a long time for me to be able to lift up my energy to its previous state. That really required time. And so I found that being in the monastery is very helpful, and even more so staying close to a great teacher. So in conclusion, don't be discouraged. You can feel a bit disheartened, but don't retreat and carry on trying. And so it's like this. So with this goodness that we need to collect, that we just carry on doing that. And as we do that, then we'll see in line with what the Buddha had taught. So an important barrier that we need to get through is that of the results of our karma. So this is the pain, the body being ill at ease, the aches, and for old people especially, the illnesses that arise. You take this understand this as one kind of results of karma. But when this comes, we should try to not allow this to reduce our efforts and our sincerity. The results of our karma, like this, the things that if we don't pass through them, then we need to just be stuck going around in the same cycle again and again, meeting with these things again and again until the end of time. So therefore, may all of you carry on with your efforts. May you endure. This is something that the Buddha said, to really endure. If you can't do anything else, then endure. And these five khandhas, the things that we need to pass through, we can take them as, consider them as one kind of mara. So I don't really know how to conclude this talk, but I got the feeling from the questions that have been asked during these retreats that that people joining, they've really done a lot of meditation already. And for myself, I haven't meditated all that much, but I have gained a lot of understanding from those questions and from the answers that were given. And so I will conclude the talk with just this much.